What's up?
I went down a YouTube rabbit hole today.
Oh, did you now?
I watched a 15 minute clips, compilation clips of Jiminy Glick. Watch Jiminy Glick on Comedy Central?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it.
Martin Short in a fat suit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was interviewing Ricky Gervais, and he said, "I interviewed Kim Kardashian. Not too bright. She thinks soy milk is I am milk." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's so insane."
Oh, that's too funny. That is too funny. So that's what you've been doing all day, watching Jiminy Glick?
Not all day, just 15 minutes, buddy. Just 15 minutes.
Oh, man, that's too funny, dude.
Can I start the show off with two recommendations?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can we pull this Nerdy Legion podcast with Martin Ferretti into the recommendation station, as we like to call it?
Sure, go for it.
I am lit today, baby. Let's go. Pants off. Let's do this.
Pants off, dance off.
Yes.
All right, give me some recommendations. I got some too, man.
Okay, good. Well, that's why we're in recommendations. So, welcome to Recommendation Station. Two recommendations. One, a podcast. And one to help with your vegan lifestyle. Which one would you like first?
Oh man, you are you're what's the saying? What's the saying?
Barking up the right dog?
I don't know. We're gonna bury the lead. That's not the right saying.
Recommendation station.
I don't know, surprise me.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the vegan lifestyle. This is a recommendation that I'm going to endorse. It's a recommendation from a great listener and a co-podcaster on the Nerdy Legion the Nerdy Legion podcast with Martin and Nick. He was your fill-in.
This guy sounds very smart. Let's continue.
Gundy recommended to me, since I was starting the vegan lifestyle with the wife, Julie, the cruise director, he recommended, because I said I'm not getting enough protein. Which hurts my sausage lifestyle. The protein is gone. I miss it. I miss you, baby. Come back.
Baby, come back.
Yes. But he recommended a protein powder, and I'm going to give him a shout out right now. The company's called Earth Chimp.
Oh, and this episode brought to you by Earth Chimp.
Yes.
I like the name.
Great company, very clean product. It's really good. But he recommended the chocolate flavor, and I wrote to him and said, other than putting it in almond milk, he puts it in pea milk. This is typical Gundy. He puts it in pea milk because it's a hell of a lot cheaper than almond milk. And I'm like, that's a smart boy. That's a smart boy. I respect that.
I've never had pea milk. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Gundy recommended Earth Chimp, and if he's saying drink pea milk, I have to look at the sugar intake of pea milk compared, but I put it in my almond milk, and I even asked him, texted him, and said, is this like a Carnation instant breakfast? Because I've never had a protein shake before. And he goes, I'm not too sure, but it's chocolatey, because I put like a banana in it at first to make it like a smoothie. And he goes, if you don't like things too sweet, you could just have it with the protein powder. There's enough sweetness. And he was absolutely right. Like, the banana added a more texture, luxurious taste to it. You know, it was a little thicker.
Yeah.
Dude, I just put that in almond milk, and it tastes like a Carnation instant breakfast. I feel like I'm 8 years old again. But it's not garbage like Carnation instant breakfast. But they also do a vanilla, which I could imagine that the vanilla would be really good with a little bit of fruit or a banana in it, too.
Man, that's a lot of protein. 20 grams of protein per serving.
It's a lot of protein.
Wow.
It's good, dude. And that's I don't even put ice in it to like get it real cold. Usually I like that type of stuff real cold. It's cold enough. And in the blender, well, we got this real pretentious blender. Don't get me wrong.
Of course like, you do.
It's a Breville blender.
Oh, look at you.
Yes. but it sounds like a freaking jet engine. It is so loud. But I got news for you, buddy. That thing whips it up, and I don't know if you ever had a beer that's on nitro.
Oh, yeah.
How smooth it is.
Yeah.
It tastes like that because it's whipping it up so much that it's aerating it so much that it is the smoothest thing. Oh.
You know, since you said that, I wonder how it would taste with oat milk.
I'm sure it's delicious.
I bet it would be like a milkshake.
Oh, I don't doubt it at all.
Hmm.
Mine's real close to being like a milkshake, but I sort of like the Carnation Instant Breakfast.
Interesting.
It brings me right back.
Interesting.
Okay, so let me give you my podcast recommendation.
Yes.
Buddy, this has been my nonstop listen to.
Oh, boy.
Tell me you've listened to this. If not, you have to listen to this. It is called What Had Happened Was. Have you listened to it?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't listened yet.
Okay, let me give you the 411. I'll give the listener a 411. It is a podcast that, and maybe there'll be more seasons. This is just the first season. There's like two more episodes left. I think it's 15 episodes altogether. But it is someone interviewing rap producer Prince Paul, and they go through his entire history, starting with Stetsasonic and going all the way up to the last thing he did, including like he won 3 Grammys on producing Chris Rock albums.
Yeah.
He goes through the 3 De La Soul albums he's on. He goes through, Doom, his collaboration with MF Doom,
mm-hmm.
Third Base. He talks a little bit about Black Sheep, Native Tongues. Oh, it is so good. And each episode is about an hour long. The interviewer is really good and goes pretty in depth. And then in between, like the grouping of questions, if they're like talking about a certain song, they'll play a little snippet of the song or whatever they're talking about. So you actually do get a listen to it. And it completely, and buddy, I barreled through these in like less than a week. It was like, hell yeah. I could not get enough in my earlobes. It was so good just hearing these little samples of like the music that I had to go and create a playlist that was all like Prince Paul inspired music. And I just like loaded it up. I got some Gravediggers on there. Hell yeah. The only sad thing about that is, and I'm sure you know if you're, well, I know you're a De La Soul fan.
Yes.
You have to be a De La Soul fan.
Yes.
But their wranglings with, what is it, Tommy Boy?
Maybe.
But now they're in legal wranglings with their label, and that's why you haven't seen any of their music. Well, the first 3 or 4 albums, you won't find on any streaming service. Like, you could go directly to De La Soul and buy them directly from them, but streaming services, not so much.
Hmm.
So that's the only thing that stunk, because listening to him talk about De La Soul is dead or, you know, any of the early albums, it was like, I just want to hear that. I want to hear that song. And no bueno, no luck.
Ah, that sucks, man. That's how record deals go.
Yeah. But highly recommend.
Very good. I might have to check it out. Yeah, I actually, where did I see it? It was probably in one of those things where, like, you know, you sign into a podcast player and it's like, you might like this podcast.
Yeah.
But I didn't subscribe. I think I will now. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and Prince Paul's very entertaining, and he recollects a lot of stories and insight that I certainly didn't know about. So it was really good.
Very good. I think instead of burying the lead, we should talk about this.
Feel free.
Because we haven't talked in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a lot going on. So the listeners don't know. Because I mean, I've been posting a couple pictures here and there on Twitter, but I haven't like openly talked about it. So mm-hmm. maybe we should openly talk about it because we're both doing this thing now.
Yeah.
Where we've both gone fully vegan.
Yes.
It's been an interesting journey, Nick.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I don't think I've ever pooped so much in my life.
Welcome.
Now, I will say, I'm always very regular. You know, this is Nerdy Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore. We have to have the poopy talk.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a mandatory segment of this podcast.
Welcome back, listener.
Welcome back, listener. I've always been very regular with my poops.
Mm-hmm.
I go every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, once a day, at least. Sometimes twice. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we have a fairly healthy diet here at my house. And, you know, you and I always switch around doing things, right? Like, we've done the keto, we've done the carnivore, we've done vegetarian, vegan, like,
oh, yeah,
anything in between.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, ever since my wife and I got together, there was a stretch of time where I was not eating the best. But ever since my wife and I got together, you know, she always makes sure that we have balanced meals. And she doesn't do any of the cooking. But you know, she always wants a protein, a vegetable, and some kind of grain, right?
Right.
Like legumes or rice or pasta or something. All right.
Yes.
So that's always been the case. I don't know, about a month and a half ago, I started going vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a big change because I was doing carnivore for a while.
Huge change.
But, you know, I felt like even though it was going well and I felt fine, just something didn't feel right. And I want to come back to that point later on, but something just didn't feel right. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just go like vegetarian, but I'll still do like some dairy. Cause you know, like if I have pasta, I got to have Parmesan cheese. We'll talk about that too. Mm. And, you know, I'm not a big cereal person. I don't care about milk. Like, I don't think we've bought milk in this house in years. Mm-hmm. We've just been drinking almond milk. And then like half and half or heavy cream for coffee. So doing that, and then fish. I think fish is important because you need your omegas. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You got to keep that brain going.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try this vegan thing. And then I watched a documentary, which I shared with you. Did you watch the documentary? Oh, you did watch the documentary. Because that's why your wife's like, we're doing this right now.
Yeah, the wife was all on board as soon as she saw that documentary.
So I watched The Game Changers on Netflix, and I shared it with you. And mm-hmm. And I think we'd already been talking about it for a couple of days, right? Because your wife has had like constant health issues, and you guys are always trying new things to like keep her in good health.
Yeah, and she also ran into a nutrition expert that sort of put it in the context of doctors will push pills. A lot of them push pills, even the ones that don't push pills to solve problems. They're not nutritionists. They weren't educated on nutrition. They're not going to try to like heal your body naturally. And this was sort of like a TED talk about becoming a vegan and how it's not going. It's because she was doing intermittent fasting, and we both are. Yeah. We still are. And she went to, after she became a vegan, she went to a kidney doctor. And the doctor was all about intermittent fasting, and she was also very keen on being a vegan because not eating animals, like animals are real complex for your kidneys to break down and your body to break down. So it's wasting a lot of like energy doing that, where mm-hmm. it could try to be healing you. And that she came out of the doctor pretty much saying, the doctor said, well, your kidneys will stop shrinking because that's her issue.
Right.
And they might not start repairing themselves and like growing, but they'll stop shrinking. Like you've stopped the harm. So mm-hmm. that's sort of what she came away with me with Game Changers. She came away to me like, look, we went on such and such diet because, you know, you're on the border of diabetes and, you know, would you go on this diet with me? Or this really was a lifestyle change. And I kept, of course I was like, it took me back a little bit, and I'm like, I don't even know what vegan is. What the hell? Like, I know it's like akin to vegetarianism, but I didn't, you know, I've never researched it. And I even told her flat out, it's like, I don't even know how to cook for that. Like, I do the primary cooking. I don't know how to cook for that. I've never cooked tofu. I've never, like, I don't know. I wouldn't know square one.
Right.
And she was like, well, both of us can do the cooking, and, you know, I'll learn a lot more than you will, but, you know, I can take that over if you join me.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, like, you know what? She's gone through, like, so much crap with her diet. And when she's, you know, she pretty much, it wasn't a guilt trip whatsoever, but she pretty much, like, laid it out on Front Street and was like, I feel like I'm dying.
Right.
And I don't feel good. Like, I don't. And she was being very frank and honest, not in like a guilt trippy way whatsoever, but just like, this is my last hope, because if my kidneys keep shrinking, I'll be on dialysis. And that's like, you might as well put like 1 foot in the grave, because you ain't going to be around long. And she was just like, I feel like I'm dying. I don't have good days and bad days. I have the majority of them are bad days. And she goes, and I don't tell anyone, and I try to put on a good face for everyone, but I don't feel good. And it is one of those, like, holy shit, like, she's done so much in regards to my health, as well as worrying about me and my job, me and my health. Like, she burdens a lot of the, and I guess it's good because we both aren't worried. Like, she's the worrying person, and she, like, takes on the stress, where I am so laissez-faire. And I mean, we've talked about it before. I think I just reach out my window and I pluck money from my money tree. Like, I'm clueless. I'm like an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
So this was the first time that she threw out, like, would you mind doing a complete shift when it comes to our diet? And I was just like, I'm like, well, and you, of course in my head, I'm like, I have all that Gilbert sausage in the freezer, baby, come on. Like, can we do this in a week? Like, what, hog wild.
Oh, did you have to throw the sausage away?
No, I gave it to people.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My mom, I sort of threw out, well, okay, let me finish the story. So I was like real hesitant, and I'm like, I just don't know how I would approach this. I have no clue. I'm like, I don't even know what it is. And then she sort of told me about, you know, what vegan is compared to vegetarianism, and it totally made sense.
Right.
And I went downstairs to, like, change into my night clothes. And by the time I came back, that's sort of where I had the come to Jesus moment, where I went downstairs and I'm like, she's done so much for me. And all she's asking for me to do is, like, can you follow me on this, instead of I'm doing this, you're going to be eating your sausage, and I'm going to be eating, you know, birdseed. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my head,
yeah.
These are the routines that are going through my head.
No, I laugh because
I come upstairs. I was like, no, you're absolutely right. I'll do this with you. Let's both do this as a team. I will support you 100%. And I got to say, like, reaching out to you, getting that recipe that complete, because you gave me that recipe for faux crab cakes. She hasn't, because she's been allergic to crab for like years. She hasn't had crab in ages. And here I am making, for her birthday, faux crab cakes from hearts of palm and garbanzo beans in a food processor. And then, and I loved the article that you sent, because the person, and I'll give her a shout out, Vegan Hugs with 2 G's, in the hugs. She has this article, and she's like, it's not, and it totally made sense to me. It totally rang true. She's like, being a carnivore isn't about missing meat. It's about trying to replicate the textures of said dish. And that's exactly what it did. It didn't taste like it was from the ocean. No, but it had like, sort of, I mean, I had to make a concoction of Old Bay seasoning because she's allergic to garlic.
Uh-huh.
But it gave you the impression when you're eating it and the texture with your fork going through it, that it shocked Julie, the cruise director. She absolutely loved it. and she can't wait for me to make it again. And that's what gets me excited.
So did you not do the seaweed?
No, okay. I use seafood seasoning because seaweed has too much sodium in it and she has to cut back on her sodium.
Ah, gotcha. See, so when I made it, I took some like little nori sheets, mm-hmm. seaweed sheets, mm-hmm. and chopped them up in the food processor with everything.
Yeah,
so it had that ocean taste to it as well.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think the experience is more interesting than the taste. Because mm-hmm. you start to realize that you don't necessarily miss the taste, you just miss the texture. Like eating a burger, for example. Like, I love eating burgers, but then like when I think about it, I'm like, man, there's just like tons of like fat and oils and stuff in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of gave me a callback to the little scene in the documentary Game Changers where they do the blood tests.
Mm-hmm.
They did it on what was it, the Dolphins players, I think.
Sounds right.
I can't remember. And then they did it on the college students where they took blood samples for that had like three people. One had like a meat taco, one had like it was like a beef taco, a chicken taco, and then like a vegan taco. And then they like drew blood, and you can tell the difference in the blood based on what they ate. And mm-hmm. you could see like how clean the blood from the vegan taco was.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think examples like that really go a long way at like presenting it. Cause you can say like, oh, you know, yeah, like beef clogged your arteries. But like, what does right. that mean? Right?
Right.
That doesn't mean anything. Right. But when you actually see the blood, you're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, this shit looks terrible. with the college students, they had them do basically the same experiment. And then they, like, measured their erections at night. I thought that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
that's how you convince a man to go vegan. You know what I mean? Like, right. more erections, more often, harder erections.
Because you're not going to sell me, and I mean, maybe this is callous, you're not going to sell me on you're protecting animals.
Right.
That's just not a selling point to me. You can sell me on this salmon is horrible because it's from a salmon farm. Sure. Yeah, you absolutely can sell me on that. Like the quality of meat, like I will spend tons of money on good quality meat. But when you show me like the blood, those type of examples, that's the stuff that'll sell me on like, well, maybe I could give up this meat.
Yeah, and we've done that for a while. Like my wife has a ban. There's no Tyson products in the house. We've been doing that for years. Because yeah, she watched a documentary about chicken farms.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, there's no way I can support this company.
Right.
So no more Tyson products.
I'm sure the documentary Food Inc. has turned many people into vegetarians.
Sure. But the cool thing about the documentary, too, was that he's using athletes, right? Because that's uh-huh. why I laugh when you were talking about eating birdseed, because that's the impression people have. Like, all you're going to eat is, like, seeds and lettuce, right?
I haven't been to a Burger King
uh-huh.
in about 4 years. For my wife's birthday meal, I went and got her the Impossible Whopper.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it tasted like a Whopper, except there was no grease.
Right.
Like, it was way better. Like, the last veggie burger I had was a garden – what was it? Garden Star?
Yeah, Garden Star. Morning Star.
Yeah, Morning Star. That was the last veggie burger I had. So I'm sure the technology is tons better. And we have to – in our household, we have to avoid that prepackaged stuff because there's way too much sodium, yeah. understandably.
Yep.
But we decided, what the hell? Let's do – because she wanted a Whopper. So I'm like, well, she could have half of a Whopper and still be under her sodium grams. So we tried it, and I was just blown away at how like tender, flame broiled it tasted. Like you could have blindfolded me, and I would have thought that it tastes. I mean, let me tip my cap a little bit. Being an ex Burger King employee, that's right. First job while in high school, I know what a Whopper tastes like when it first comes out of the broiler compared to one that's sitting under the heat lamp for 10 minutes, 15 right. minutes before right. it gets out. I know exactly how the oil is. I know how, like, I can tell. And it tastes like one that was that was not right off the broiler, because the ones right off the broiler are uber greasy.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the grease gets sucked back into the burger if it's sitting, you know, sitting under the heat lamp for 5 minutes. And it tastes like one that's under the heat lamp. Like, it's just not greasy.
Right.
Whatsoever. And guess what? If you have it without the mayo, it doesn't come with cheese unless you ask, but that's not vegan cheese.
Right.
But everything else was vegan. It was really good.
Shockingly good. So your wife's birthday is like a day or two before mine, or after mine.
Yes.
Which is funny, because I also had an Impossible Burger for my birthday.
Nice. But you made it.
Well, no. My wife got takeout.
Oh.
Because like we had agreed. Oh, well, actually, she offered that we would all go to a steakhouse for my birthday, and I was like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, I switched to vegan. So now we're not going to do the steakhouse, right?
Right.
And I'll tell the story about how this whole thing happened, because I didn't even tell them for a couple days until I had started.
Wow.
But so we looked up a couple places, and we found a vegan restaurant, and they had Impossible Burgers. So I was like, I've been wanting to try one for forever. And it was like a fully vegan bacon cheeseburger.
Dang.
So the bacon was little, like, crispy tempeh strips, which didn't taste anything like bacon.
Right.
But the texture was, like, pretty close. But the rest of it, like, it just tasted like a burger. It was the vegan cheese, and then the Impossible Burger had, like, lettuce, tomatoes, veganace, which is vegan mayonnaise, and a couple other things. Yeah, it was very good. Oh, I haven't told you. You got to get the veganace, man.
Oh, buddy, I'm way past you. I have vegan mayonnaise, two different kinds, as well as coconut mayonnaise.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Did you get the vegan butter yet?
We have not.
Okay. So my wife ordered some vegan butter from Walmart, of all places.
Nice.
It's a brand that, like, is like a common name brand. And I was like, I don't know if that name brand would do, like, what I need. But I looked it up, and, like, the ingredients seem legit. So
nice.
We got it. It tastes better than butter. I'll give you that.
Really?
Yeah. I'll look it up and see what it is. I'll have to go in the fridge.
Better than Irish butter?
I don't know about better than Irish butter, but it's better than regular butter. And it's got, like, a little bit of a margarine texture, because, I mean, margarine's made from oil, right? And this vegan butter is made from plant oils, so it's got a little bit of that margarine taste. But, like, I don't know, you can't really tell. We got the avocado butter, which is very good. It's delicious. But yeah, so I had the Impossible Burger, fantastic. I can't remember what everybody else had. But let me tell you, so this is how it went, because I didn't tell anybody. Because my thing was, like, I don't want to, if I'm trying something new, I don't want to, like, say it. I just want to do it, right? Because I don't want it to be one of those things where, like, oh, like, hey, guess what I'm doing now? You know what I mean? Like, which you get a lot of that from, like, people that switch to vegan or whatever. Like, how dare you kill animals? This and the other. Like, whatever. I don't want to do any of that stuff. So.
Or you switch over a complete different lifestyle, and then you hear the people that are like, you know how much animal fat is in that? It's just like, oh my God, get off your high horse.
Yeah, get off your high horse. So I made the switch, and school had started. So Reagan's like not cooking anymore. Right. So I'm back to doing all the cooking. And so I can't remember what I made that night, but I made something.
Shouldn't she be cooking more? I thought that was a huge passion for her. She's out of school.
Well,
no, she's back in school, so she's probably busy.
So she was doing school a couple days a week in school, and then the rest of the week was at home. But she decided that she didn't like going to school to do it, so now she switched to all, like, home.
Ah.
But she still doesn't want to do, like, much cooking.
Gotcha.
So, but anyway, so, and you know, like, when she was doing a lot of the cooking, it was very easy because we had all these HelloFresh recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they send you the recipe cards. And so she was, they would just do buy the groceries based off of that. And it was like perfect timing where she's like, well, can you start doing the cooking? Because I want to focus on school. And I'm like, great. So that first day I made something, can't remember what it was. And they enjoyed it. The next day I made something else. They enjoyed it. But like, I would serve it. And I'm like, I wonder if they'll notice that there's no meat on this plate.
Ooh.
Right? Because like I said, there's always a meat, a vegetable, and a grain.
Mm-hmm.
And but like nothing. Nobody said anything. So finally I end up making these vegan crab cakes.
Yes.
Right? And so I figure like if I'm making vegan crab cakes, they're going to be like, there's something going on. Right? Because like why would you just not make crab cakes?
Right.
They're a lot easier to do. So I make the vegan crab cakes and I made the vegan mayo from scratch. It was a disaster, but like it was whatever. Like it was fine as a sauce, but it wasn't like it was supposed to be. And so I served it and they really enjoyed it. And the thing is, Reagan has a thing with like what she calls fake meats.
Oh.
When they try to do like vegan versions of a meat, right? Like
sure.
Chicken tenders or a burger or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so by her just by me not telling her, I was like, maybe she wouldn't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, we have the meal, whatever, and we're done. And my wife's like you know, whatever, that was really good, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, it's I made the crab cakes from chickpeas and heart of palm. And she's like, yeah, it's really good. And Reagan's like, wait, so it's not meat? I was like, no, it's not meat. She's like, maybe I can like rethink this whole thing of like the fake meat.
She has to recontextualize now.
Yeah, she's like, that was actually good.
Now, what did she think of the vegan restaurant?
Oh, they yeah, no, everyone enjoyed it.
Okay, so really, that's probably blowing her mind even more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think she no, she didn't have any meat on her plate. I think my wife did. My wife had something, some kind of meat. I can't remember what it was. And then I know Zoe had some chicken thing in hers.
I'm just thinking if she ordered like nachos, like even if it's faux cheese, that at least makes her recontextualize like that wasn't that bad.
And it tasted like
cheese, yet it wasn't from a cow.
So I think the nachos would be the easiest one, right? Because like the vegan crumbles in like a nacho sauce, like you wouldn't even know that it's not meat.
I would think.
Because there's so many other flavors overpowering it.
For sure.
But anyway, so the crab cakes got her kind of changing. And so since they enjoyed it and they've been eating like fully vegan for a couple days for dinner, at least, I was like, I just want you guys to know that like I'm trying this vegan thing. Like we've been eating vegan all week and you guys haven't even noticed. And my wife's like, oh, okay. So like you're doing vegan now? It's like, yeah. She's like, well, it's been really good. So like if you just want to make whatever you make for yourself for everybody every night, then that'd be fine.
Oh, nice.
But like they still miss meat, right? So and like we still had meat in the refrigerator.
Yeah, of course.
So a lot of times I'll make like a meat for them and try to find some substitute for myself. So like sometime last week I think I made steaks because they had bought steaks.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up just getting a couple of portobellos and frying those up for myself.
And you said you're also eating the, what is it, tofu-y sausage?
Tofurkey.
Tofurkey sausage. Yeah,
the brand name is Tofurkey.
Yeah.
They have a few different ones. Yeah, I tried the Italian tofurkey sausage. It was fantastic.
Oh. I heard good things about field roast.
Haven't tried those yet.
They're vegan sausages. I've heard good things.
But, it's really good. Matter of fact, the first time I had them, I cooked it. You just, like, microwave it for 30 seconds.
Ah.
And so I chopped it up, and I put it in a salad, and it was fantastic. So the second day, I actually did it. I had made some I got to send you that recipe for the potato hoagies.
Yeah.
I made some potato hoagies, and I put the sausage in it. In the hoagies with like relish and mustard and stuff. Man, it was banging.
That sounds real good.
Yeah, it was really good. But
trust me, Julie, the cruise director, as soon as I said I was on board with the vegan thing, she did a complete order and ordered every, because we asked Gundy, like, hey, what's good?
Right.
What's good, and also what to avoid, like what brands to avoid, what. And he gave me a good little breakdown of stuff, and Julie, the cruise director, was right there, and she just ordered, like, oh, this is really good for chili. If you want to make chili and add faux meat to it, get this brand. Or try this, you know, this brand of like hamburger patties, or this brand of chicken tenders. And everything has been, but see, I'm sort of, how do I say this? Morningstar, everything that I ate from Morningstar might not have been the best.
Yeah.
But it was just weird enough. Like even the bad stuff reminded me a little bit of like a TV dinner, and then the good stuff was really good. Like I always liked their corn dogs, but like their hamburgers sort of reminded me of a Salisbury steak from a TV dinner. You know, it just it wasn't that great, but I still like I'm a little white trashy. So for me, like we got these Gardein chicken tenders. And they just remind – they don't remind me of chicken. They remind me enough of chicken, but I like the weirdness of them. And putting them into the air fryer crisps them up real nice. And then I throw them into – I think we have like a cassava flour taco shells.
Nice.
And then you garnish those up. Dude, it tastes just like a chicken taco. It's really good.
Yeah,
but needless to say, Julie, the cruise director, other than me lacking in protein, hence the Earth Chimp, other than that, like she's made some spectacular meals. We also bought some additives like Impossible Burgers and stuff like that to add into meals.
Yeah.
That I miss the high-end sausages and those type of meat products, but everything else, and that was such a random purchase, like those high-end things. Everything else is way better eaten than I ever have. And like, I get a lot more clarity and thought, a lot more regular. And I feel like my energy and my mental energy is a lot better.
Let me ask you, when you say more regular, because we kind of went away from the poopy talk.
Sure.
How, if you don't mind, what's more regular for you?
I've always been very consistent when I'm at, when I used to drive an hour into my previous job before COVID, I was going twice a day.
Clock. Oh, wow. Dang, that's good. Work. That's good.
And now I'm doing twice, if not three times a day.
Yeah, see, I noticed that, man. I'm going like three or four times a day now.
It's awesome. No tummy issues, you know what I'm saying? Well, sometimes you can't go to the bathroom and your stomach's killing you.
So I had some tummy issues for a couple of days, the first week, at the end of the first week.
Uh-oh.
But I think it's just because I wasn't used to getting so much fiber. And so like I had to get used to that again. You know what I mean?
Are you getting enough protein?
So that's, yes.
That's usually the big vegan issue.
So supposedly that's the big vegan issue. Here's the thing. The thing that I was most concerned about was not eating fish, because like most fish I eat just because of the omegas, right? Like I'm not a huge fish fan except for salmon. I love salmon, like fatty fish, right? Like swordfish, salmon, stuff like that. And so I was concerned that like I wouldn't get enough omegas. So I did a lot of research on omegas, and then B12 is the other one. Cause you get B12 from meat, especially red meat. And watching the documentary made me realize that like the meat, the B12 doesn't even come from meat. It comes from bacteria. So I got a big jar of nutritional yeast.
Oh.
And I sprinkle a little bit in my salads, and I sprinkle it if I have like rice or whatever. For pasta, I make cheese with the nutritional yeast and cashews.
Because that tastes, there's a taste to it, right?
Yes. So by itself, it's like a weird, I don't know what you would describe it as. It's like a kind of a weird taste. It's a little nutty.
That's how they describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. But let me tell you, like on pasta, you can't even tell the difference between that and Parmesan cheese. So I do the nutritional yeast, cashews. I do some Italian seasoning, thyme, salt, pepper, a little garlic salt. and it tastes exactly like Parmesan cheese.
Wow.
Yeah. But I put like a little teaspoon in like almost everything just to make sure I get
Interesting.
B12. Because you got to have B12 to like
Because
for energy.
we did buy some, I just haven't used it yet.
Oh, dude, you can put it in anything.
Okay.
I'm doing a lot of things like tonight, for example, I did zucchini fries, and when I tossed them in nutritional yeast. So like you can just
Okay.
put it on everything. It gives it a nice little flavor, a nice little texture, and lots of nutrition. But for the fish, what I ended up doing, and this is not at all fishy, is chia seeds. I bought a giant tub of chia seeds. Like a serving of chia seeds has more omegas than like even the fattiest fish.
Oh, wow.
And
Okay, that's good to know.
it's just like 2 tablespoons, I think. And a ton of fiber. It's like 80% of your fiber needs in like 2 tablespoons of chia seeds.
I'm sure that's a heck of a lot cheaper than buying protein powder, too.
Oh, dude, I've noticed that.
Chia seeds are cheap.
I went food shopping tonight. I spent $60 for the next like 5 or 6 days of meals.
Dang. Wow.
And I mean, granted, like I already had some stuff here, but I like went to the meat section just to look and realized just like how expensive meat has gotten, especially with COVID.
For sure.
Like chicken is like, $6, $7 a pound, and like, for 4 people, you need like more than a pound of chicken.
But remember when they mentioned in March how chicken prices were going to skyrocket and it's going to be really hard to find like beef, like good quality beef? Well, I think now it's coming, now it's happening.
Yeah, they're predicting some serious food shortages
Can I tell you
coming
my
up.
one other regret? The thing that I miss after going vegan, and I newly discovered it within the last year, cooking with ghee.
Ah, yeah.
How was I never exposed to ghee before?
Dude, I
Because
the so when I
it brings out such a great nuttiness and depth of flavor to anything you use it with.
Now that you mention that, I wonder if I can use this vegan butter to make ghee. I might have to
Hey, if
try
you can
that.
get that nutty flavor, that like toasted, roasted nutty flavor, oh, it killed me because I had to give that to my mom. I didn't have to,
Oh, yeah.
but I'm like, I just can't, I can't have this now. You should cook with it. And she had no clue what it was, so I explained how to use it. And I'm just so excited for her to finally try something like that.
So for anyone that doesn't know, ghee is clarified butter. So basically all you do is you take butter and you boil it and you like skim off the solids and like the like translucent liquid that's left is the ghee. So it's all the good stuff in the butter minus the chunky stuff. Yeah, ghee's delicious.
So I'm gonna miss that.
All right, I'm gonna experiment with this vegan ghee, and if I can make it happen, I will tell you.
Oh, since we're in, well, we did sort of bypass recommendation station, but I have another recommendation for you, and I think you've researched this before. But I grabbed an app called Happy Cow, and it is a vegan app that will geolocate vegan places within a mile radius, whatever you put in there, vegan restaurants, grocery stores, and then it like customizes reviews for you. It's a typical like culinary app. But when I picked it up, I mean, I live in the burbs. Like, and I even told Gundy, I'm like, Gundy, you live in Chicago. You want vegan places? Throw a stone any direction, you'll hit one. But it was shocking to pull it up and like, oh, that's neat that I can pull this up and there's reviews on there that will be like, no, you can go to Chipotle, just order such and such burrito without this, this, and this, and it will be vegan. Or, oh, there's a vegan restaurant, I want to say 2 miles away from me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I drove by this place, I mean, hundreds of times. It's on the most like busy road of Orland Park, Illinois. And I drove by it constantly. But it's so cool. Like, it's called Happy Cow. And I even told Julia Cruz director. When COVID gets lifted and we can go on vacation, it's going to be great to go onto this app in a strange town and just, you know, not feel like, oh, I have to look up, you know, vegan such and such and go on to wherever it is. Go on to these strange websites, fingers crossed they know what the hell they're talking about, because some places seem like the word vegetarian and vegan are interchangeable, which they absolutely aren't.
Right.
But I gotta say, this app Happy Cow, I was really impressed with it. I mean, it's a little janky, don't get me wrong, but obviously they don't have a crap ton of money.
Sure.
You know, backing it, but for a little sketch, you know, offshoot, like it was very pleasant to read some of these reviews from people instead of, especially when you go online and you read a lot of like culinary app review, food reviews, and you could sort of tell like, that's the head chef writing this review, or that's the leader, you know, writing that review. Give me a break. Like, you can tell that these are actual customers that are going in there and getting food.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So I've been vegan before. I was vegan senior year in high school, I think, is when I started, maybe freshman year in college. And and I did it for, I don't know, about 7-8 years. And back then it was really tough, man, because I remember, like, we used to, I think I told the story before, we used to go to Applebee's every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, like, I mean, obviously there were people that were vegan, but it wasn't as common as it is now. And like, anywhere we went, like, you couldn't order anything vegan.
Right.
And so, like, we'd go to Applebee's, and when I switched over, the only thing I could eat was the appetizer pizza with no cheese.
Oh, yeah, because Gundy would tell me, because he was vegan in high school, or vegetarian in high school, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And this was way back in the day. This is like late 80s. And he would constantly tell me, he's like, you know how many times I would have to eat off the kids' menu and get macaroni and cheese, or, well, we have a side salad that you can have,
yep,
or we have like pasta and sauce.
Yep.
So you're having just like crap pasta with like canned sauce. And he goes, that's why it's shocking. When we used to work together, he was like, the amount of vegetarian meatless options have like tripled, quadrupled since his high school time.
Oh, no doubt.
And now it's even more. It's just like vegan is very accepted, which is nice. I mean, maybe not in my Midwest Chicago meatpacking plant city, but it's a hell of a lot more acceptable, which is great.
Well, dude, I mean, I live in the South. Everything gets fried.
Hell yeah.
Everything is breaded and fried.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like chicken, steak, like, and potatoes. But yeah, no, it's been a good experience. You know, let me tell you what my favorite thing about this is.
But don't you think that the best thing is turning your two girls onto it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure some of their friends might be vegetarian or vegan. Who the hell knows? But still, just like to show them, oh, you can still eat great food and tasty food, and you're sort of doing something good for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like, oh, you're saving a cow. Like, no. Do you need to drum that into their heads? No.
Right.
But still, it's like, it's sort of cool, because I'm sure they're like, that is sort of a cool thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But so in terms of cooking,
mm-hmm,
you know, the thing I love about cooking is the experience, right? Like,
yes,
getting into that Zen focus when you're cooking.
Yeah.
And like coming up with cool things. My favorite thing about doing this now is that I can taste everything that I'm making and tweak it just the way I like it. Because, like, if you're cooking meat, you're not going to take, like, a piece of raw chicken and be like, yeah, it needs, like, a little more cooking time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you're working only with vegetables, you can, like, play around with it and, like, taste it. And, like, oh, it needs a little more of this. You know, put that in, taste it. Oh, it needs a little more of this.
Yeah, there's no chicken season, where vegetables are completely seasonal, and guess what? Certain vegetables taste great right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I bought some spaghetti squash today. I'm going to make that this weekend.
Nice.
Which I've done before. They actually, everyone here really likes it.
So have you completely fallen off? I know you were on your bread wagon for a while there, making different kinds of bread. Have you had to fall off that other than your potato hoagies?
No, I'm still making the bread.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still making the breads. Just not as often as I was. Because I'm trying not to do like too much starch either, you know what I mean? So like even the pasta we've switched over, like my wife's always bought it's just like it's regular pasta, but it's got like added vegetables in it.
Sure.
Where they mix it up.
Yeah.
But now like we're starting to go in the route of like a chickpea pasta or a lentil pasta or spinach pasta.
Nice.
Which works out pretty well.
But
yeah, I'm trying to do like less high carb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
Which like, you know, I'll still have some pasta, still have some potatoes.
Right.
But the only thing like really starchy that we're still eating is like rice, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually we had some tonight. I made some coconut rice and for them I did we had some venison steaks in the freezer.
Nice.
So I made them venison steaks and then I did the zucchini fries.
Mm.
And then for myself, I ended up instead of the venison, I just added bean sprouts and carrots to my dish, and it was fine.
Nice.
It was very filling. It was a little different in texture and flavor than yesterday, because yesterday was it yesterday or the day before we had the pad thai, tofu pad thai.
Yes, I'm doing that this weekend,
bro. It is banging.
Yeah.
Let me. I don't know how much you like peanut butter.
Love peanut butter. Are you kidding me?
So the recipe that I sent you recommends topping it with peanuts.
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of peanuts, but I like peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
So I just added extra peanut butter to the sauce.
Nice.
And it was perfect. Because like when you taste the sauce, it tastes a little tangy because of the either the soy sauce or the tamari, whatever you use.
Mm-hmm.
But when you add it all in, most of that flavor gets soaked in, and so you just get that like spicy peanut flavor.
Uh-huh.
God, it was so good though, man.
I
was gonna have the leftovers today, and Reagan's like, "Can I have the leftovers from last night?" I was like, "Fine."
Like, don't you have to go to school? Get out of here.
That's fine. But and one thing that I'm eating that I never ate is oats. So, for lunch, usually I have some oats with chia and blueberries and a banana. And that's what I have for lunch. It's delicious.
Somebody told me that Trader Joe's has a maple oat creamer.
Oh.
That they say they put that in their coffee every day. And I guess it's pretty clean, like ingredient-wise. But they said it's unbelievable, the flavor.
Really?
Yeah. I was just curious because I know you love your oat milk.
I don't love the oat milk. I like it. The one that I really like is the flaxseed milk.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, which tastes very different than all the other like plant milk.
Sure.
I don't know. I might have to try that. I haven't drank coffee. So,
wow.
Yeah, like all week. I had some last week. But I tweeted out to you, and then you brought Gundy in. I think Andrew chimed in as well, Andrew Shaw, because he's also a vegan.
I know. He's been a vegan for how long? Like 8 years or something?
Yeah, something like that. A long time.
And it's like, Andrew Shaw, where are the recipes? He's like, I'll search for recipes. It's like, dude, it's been a week. How about a recipe or two? Come
mm-hmm.
on. You can't be on Animal Crossing 24/7.
Apparently he can.
Yes, he can.
I wanted a creamer replacement. And it's not like I couldn't do one, right? Because when I was doing keto and even the – well, not with the carnivore. When I was doing keto, I bought the – oh, God, what's it called? The something. The coconut oil.
Okay.
It's not CBD. It's something with a C. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a liquid coconut oil. It's not like the stuff you use for cooking. And I would put that into my coffee to give it that like – creamy oiliness a little bit.
Sure.
And also you need it for like to be in ketosis because it's like high in fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I could have done that with some like flax milk or something else, but I wanted something that resembled creamer a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, we just do heavy cream or half and half in our coffee anyway. And because, like, I found a place that sells the one that Gundy recommended. I can't remember the name of it now. But I found a place fairly close by, and I was like, yeah, I'll go over there. But it's kind of out of the way, and I was like, ah, screw it. And because I didn't get it, I just haven't drank coffee.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you gave it up or you're just on a hiatus right now.
Yeah, I'm just on hiatus now. The thing I did do at the same time was quit smoking.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Wow, you did a lot all at once.
Yeah. So we talked earlier, like, I don't care too much about, like, proselytizing, right? So, right. Like, it's cool that I'm, like, don't have to kill animals to feed myself or whatever. Like, that's fine. But I started to think of it more in, like, you know me. I'm a very philosophical guy, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might not be able to tell from all the poopy talk, but it's true. And one thing that I said to myself is, like, you know, if I want to be, like, complete, right? I shouldn't like have to rely on a substance, right? Mm-hmm. And I gave up drinking a long time ago. I haven't drank in forever.
Mm-hmm.
But the smoking thing is a little different. And there's like an identity thing with smoking too, right? Like all smokers always like unite, right? Like you huddle outside in the freezing cold and smoke together.
Yeah, all the cool kids.
Yeah, all the cool kids. What is it that Mike calls it? The Heshers and whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? Like, if I, because I'm doing this podcast too, and I talk about a lot of the stuff. I was like, I can't talk about some of this stuff if I don't like fully embrace it into myself. You know what I mean? And one of the things is like, why would I have to rely on cigarettes as like a clutch for whatever, if I'm stressed or something? If I always talk about like, you know, being complete, I was like, if I'm complete, I don't need to smoke. So I just quit smoking like that day. And the vegan thing kind of went along with that. Right.
Now, can I ask you, how are you feeling with all this happening compared to when you were in the midst of like keto? Have you felt a difference?
So I don't know. I don't know if I feel as energetic as with keto, but I also don't think I can compare it properly, because when I was doing keto, I was working outside of the house. You know what I mean?
And you were smoking as well.
And I was smoking. And now I'm home most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like I go out every day and take a walk. But it's not the same as like being out in like a high pressure job, for example.
Yeah, and socializing with other people.
Yeah. So I can't like really compare it. Mm-hmm. But like I don't feel worse, I can tell you that. I mean, aside from those couple days where like I had tummy aches. outside of that, like I feel fine.
Are you missing when you're driving into work and you swing into the gas station and you get your coffee and roll up breakfast garbage food?
No, because see, that goes along with the smoking thing. It's like having all these clutches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I feel
security blanket, things you could lean on.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can't talk about mindfulness, for example, all the time. If I'm just like every morning, automatically stop at the gas station, get coffee and something, and go to work, have a cigarette, go to work. You know, like so. The fact that I'm in a spot where I'm not placing myself in that situation anymore, I think kind of helps. Obviously,
it's sort of freeing.
Yeah. So it's nice. It's nice.
Nice.
Are
we still in recommendation station? Because you said I still have recommendations.
Two. Yeah, okay, good. I have two.
I don't want you to forget.
This whole episode's recommendation station.
Oh, man.
But, just like everything, like little changes have been nice. Like even just grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we used to go, my wife would place an order and we, you know, go pick it up. And that's like the food for the week.
Right.
So we're like planning meals.
Mm-hmm.
And because like all this cooking with like new techniques and like new ways of doing things and creating dishes, I realized that like number one, maybe I don't need as many ingredients either.
Yeah.
And so instead of doing the grocery shopping for the whole week, because we're eating a lot of fresh stuff, I go to the store like every 2 or 3 days.
Nice.
Right. So you always get whatever the freshest thing is at the store.
Yeah, you're getting the freshest of the fresh and you're cooking it before it ever spoils.
Exactly. And I don't have to like think far ahead, like what am I gonna cook next Sunday?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, today I feel like having this, so I'm gonna make this.
Nice.
And again, I did buy enough groceries for the next like 5 or 6 days worth of meals. But you know, those could change at any point. I do know that tomorrow I'm doing sushi.
It sounds very mindful.
It is very mindful.
Your
Speaking of
new.
mindfulness, I'm almost done with my bonik.
Oh, really?
My bow will be done this week.
Oh my gosh. How many hours have you put in on it?
At least 100.
I would think so. And how soothing and relaxing has it been, or how like stressful is it?
It's not stressful at all. It's very relaxing.
I just didn't know. Like, is there a sense of worry? Like, could you do something wrong and like all your work, it goes down the drain? I don't know.
I thought there might be at some point. So fairly soon after I started working on it, on my other podcast, I had this guy, Sean Cahill, who does work with like TTSA on UFOs and stuff like that. And but I had him on because like he's a very like mindful guy, and I like his philosophy on life. And so I had him on. We were chatting. We talked for like 2 hours,
Nice.
and I brought up the archery thing because one of his side hobbies is making wooden spoons.
Yes, you told me about this,
Yeah.
gentlemen.
And one of the things that he said as I was explaining this whole thing is when you string the bow and go to shoot it, are you scared that it'll break in half? Right? Because there's always that possibility. Because I've never made one before. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
For sure.
And especially if I'm spending like 100 hours on making this thing, what happens if
And
like it all goes to shit?
you can't be guaranteed that the wood is as strong as you think it is.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. So now that I have it in a, it's finished. The shape is finished.
Nice.
So all I need to do is I'm gonna sand it down, and I'm gonna do some kind of finish on it, like a polyurethane or something maybe,
Nice.
and then string it, and then try to shoot it. But now that I have the finished shape, I noticed that near the handle, there's like a crack.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, this thing might break when I go to shoot it. You know what I mean? But whatever, like it's fine. If it breaks, it breaks. My dumbass, the other day I was like, I'm gonna go get a string for this thing. And instead of going to the archery place that's like down the street, I went down to you know what? I know why that happened, because it was like 8 o'clock at night. I was like, I'm gonna string this bow tonight.
Uh-oh.
Just to see. And my dumbass went to Walmart because I know they have a sporting goods section,
Oh boy.
and they have bolts and arrows and stuff like that, but no strings. So I ended up not getting a string, but I'll probably get one this weekend, and
Nice.
just to try it out. So
Yeah, why not?
once I have it sanded down and coated and stuff, I'll probably take a picture of it before I string it.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah. Should be good. I think I might change the grip too. I don't like the grip that I have on there. Maybe I'll take it off and just do one out of twine or something, or maybe get another grip. I haven't decided yet.
Can't wait to see that picture.
But yeah, it should be fun. And it's kind of like an odd size, so I didn't really think about this too well. Fortunately, the length of it is close enough that it will make a difference. So when you get a bow, and you buy a string for it, it's supposed to be 3 inches shorter than the length of the bow.
Makes sense.
My dumbass didn't think about this in the beginning. I was just making the damn bow. Fortunately, the length that I ended up being is like half an inch longer than like a standard size.
Okay.
So I don't think it's gonna make any difference.
You'll just have more tension on it.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So
Yeah, if it's one inch longer.
It ended up being 53 and a half inches, almost a half inch.
Dang.
So it'll be a 50-inch string, and then I gotta get some bolts for it, some arrows.
This is exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna think, what did I end up? I'm gonna go with 38-inch arrows, I think. It's supposed to be your arm length divided by 2.5. So 38 inches, I think, is the correct size. But yeah, anyway, so I'll take a picture of it when I finish it, and then when I string it, and then maybe we'll do a video of me shooting this thing. And maybe it busting in my face.
Like, you know, it's all the process. Buddy.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and guess what? Version 2 is going to be better than version 1 and et cetera and so on.
Yeah, so I actually started a second one.
Ooh.
Because I found a nice piece of wood. A limb fell from one of the trees.
And so
I found a nice piece of wood. It might be a little too short. I think it's like 51 inches. But it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that one might actually take a little longer to do. I don't know yet. Maybe I'll cheat and use a power tool to cut some of it down. Cause this is like a thick piece. It's like a 6-inch diameter probably.
Hey, you're not in any rush.
I'm not in any rush. But yeah, so let me give you a recommendation, man.
Please.
So I watched both the trailer and the featurette for this new movie coming out that I'm very excited for. Because it's a remake of an existing movie, and I love the original, even though it's a little weird, but and not quite like the book that it's based on, but it is based on a book series, in fact.
I think I know where you're headed. Okay,
that I really love, and
by a director you really love,
by a director that I really love,
who did one of your favorite films ever.
You are correct. Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
So Denis Villeneuve's Dune, the trailer came out for that.
Oh God!
And there's also a featurette on the Movie Clips trailers YouTube Ooh. Channel. It's like 18
I did
minutes
not
long.
See that.
Yeah, you got to check it out. It's like 18 minutes long. It's got Denis in it and the whole cast.
Oh.
And they're being interviewed by Stephen Colbert.
Oh, all right. This sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good. Stephen Colbert's hair is super long.
Yeah, I've seen him in quarantine.
Yeah.
Taking quarantine serious.
So it's the whole cast. It starts off and
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin's in it. Yep, he's in the interview.
Wow. Okay, this is the whole cast.
The whole cast is in it. Nice. It starts off with Stephen, Denny, and I can't remember the kid's name, the main actor. So he interviews those two first, and then they bring in like Josh Brolin and Jason Momoa and somebody else, I can't remember, and like do all those people together. And then they bring in like the full cast and do interview with the full cast. And it's all like a Zoom interview, right?
Sure.
Like they're not in person.
Yeah.
So you have like the 12 panel, the 12 faces in this interview. It's very cool. And so they go over like the process of creating it and like who had read Dune and who hadn't. Like the experience of recording the movie or filming the movie, because you know, Denny doesn't like a lot of special effects. And so a lot of the effects in Dune are practical effects. Like they actually built sets for this thing. They filmed a large chunk of the movie in the desert. I can't remember where they said they were. North Africa, I think.
They had a real worm monster, of course.
Like I said, some things maybe you can't do practical.
No.
But for the most part, it's all practical effects. And even looking at the trailer, you can kind of tell that, right? Like the only thing that looks like would have to be CG is the worms and then the armor that they wear.
Even the dudes dropping out of the sky, it's like just erase the wires. That looks so like that does not look fake whatsoever.
Yep. The armor is my favorite part of the trailer, because I don't know if you've ever seen the original Dune.
I did. I don't know if I would say that's my favorite part.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the Lynch armor.
So in the original Dune, well, actually it wasn't a movie; it was a miniseries. In the original Dune, when they when they turn their armor on, it's like a force field kind of around you, right? In the trailer, it's cool. It's like a little like it's tight to the body with with their suits, and it's like a little blue light kind of thing. And in the original, it's like it's like rectangles around body parts.
Yeah, it's like mosaics.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I love it. That's my favorite part.
Are you serious?
Yes, honestly. I love it. It was such a weird, weird, weird style to go with.
That's true. You know what the weirdest part of that miniseries is Patrick Stewart with long hair.
I never saw the miniseries. I only saw the Lynch film.
Oh, okay. So, so in that movie, Patrick Stewart is in it, and he is going bald. He's got no hair.
Sting in the miniseries.
What's that?
He played Sting in the miniseries.
Oh God, he was one of the bad guys. I can't remember now.
I'm just curious if they put a lot of money into the miniseries. If they have Patrick Stewart, I just didn't know if the Sting character would.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha.
Warrant somebody who's worth a little bit.
Well, so here's the weird thing. You know, Patrick Stewart's bald.
Yeah.
Okay. In this thing, he's bald, except he has long hair.
Whoa.
Like down to his shoulders. It's so weird. Anyway, that he's not in the new film. Okay. He's not in the new film. But the new film looks fantastic. Everything about it looks amazing. Yeah, the character designs, the environment. I think.
Can I give you my two issues with the new film?
All right, this podcast is over. You're fired.
No. Just let me ask it. Are you feeling the same thing?
Oh, okay.
I don't know the running time of this film.
Oh yeah.
If it's under 4 hours. Are they doing the source material a disservice? Because that's a thick-ass book. That's my first worry.
Yeah.
My second worry is it's coming out when? In December?
Yes.
Is this going to be another issue like Tenet is this weekend?
Oh.
Sure, it's going to be on the big screen. You know what I want to? You know where I want to see it? On the big screen.
Sure.
You know where I'm not going anywhere close to? A movie theater. And even if they did that in a drive-in, do I want to see Tenet or Dune on a crappy drive-in screen? Hell no.
Yeah.
I even told the wife. Like, the wife, I showed it to her. She loves sci-fi, loves Arrival. So I showed it to her, and she goes, that looks way too violent. And I'm like,
oh,
yeah,
no.
There is a little bit of, you know, action and upheaval, and, you know, sure. But you see it's going to be really good sci-fi, right? And she goes, yeah, it's just not something I could do. And I'm like, that's the problem. I can't go in December. I know my mindset already. There's no way I'm going into a movie theater. God love you if you do or you can. But why do you need that movie to come out in December? Like, wait until this BS is over and put it out in the theater. Same with Tenet. Like, that's insane.
All right, so I can't find the running time for this movie.
Okay.
But I did find a Reddit post of somebody asking how long it would be.
Uh-huh.
And somebody commented, Blade Runner 2049, which is also a Villeneuve movie.
Uh-huh.
The script for that was 109 pages, and it was a 2-hour-and-45-minute movie.
Yes.
The script for Dune is 132 pages.
Oh, God. So it could be a 4-hour movie.
Yeah, it could be a 4-hour movie.
Oh, I hope. I just want them to treat. It seems like they're treating the material really well. I was really, really excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
So excited I want to go back and read Dune. But it just, it breaks my heart to think that it's going to be out in December. Like, why are you doing that other than for an Academy Award nomination? Like, why? Who cares? Let Trolls 2 win some awards. Who cares? Let that be the thing that racks up the awards. I don't care this year. Let it wash over.
Buddy, it's like with comics. You know what sells comics? Is variant covers. So they have to keep doing variant covers. That's why they support shops and not Comixology. Same thing with movies. They gotta have awards. So they gotta put them out in theaters.
But see, I'm even bummed. Like, are they just, like, sure, put out whatever movie in theaters, like New Mutants, and then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, turn around and, like, video on demand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pull it out of theaters and do video on demand. But even if I had a kick-ass setup here at home, it ain't as good as the theater.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to lose out. But I'm willing to. Trust me, I'm willing to. And for people like the Bright Side chat talking about going to theaters, I'm jealous.
Yep.
I'm not fearful for their health. They know their health better than I do. And I'm certainly not going to be this, like, COVID Nazi that's like, you shouldn't do that. I'm not going to scold you. Go do you. But it's just, I'm jealous. I want to see New Mutants on the big screen. I just know that I can't right now. And that's my choice. That's no one else's choice.
So the COVID thing is not a big issue for me, like going to the movies during it. My thing is more like I've gone this long. The last movie I went to see in theaters was Bloodshot, right? So that's February.
Yeah.
We're now in September. So that's what, 5 months, 6 months,
mm-hmm.
7 months. I got to a point. It's the same thing as like not stopping at the gas station.
So now it's like a new horizon for you.
It's one of those things where like, oh, like I don't really miss this thing. Like, yeah, it's cool seeing it, but like, it's just as good seeing it at home on my big screen. You know what I mean?
I'm feeling that way too. Like, I haven't been to Costco in so long. Do I really need Costco in my life? Let me think about that. Like, I hate to say it. Like, I could see a lot of kids, not young kids, but like your daughter's ages.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them after like 8 months of not going to school. At this point, they should know how to, I mean, they should have been trained well enough to be like, I can do all my studying at home.
Right.
And I can be more responsible. Being at home makes me more responsible and makes me learn more. And sure, not every kid is made that way. And you're missing out on all the socialization. I get it. But there's also a point where I could see a high school kid to be like, Mom, I can do, you know, Zoom classes, or I can learn the same stuff, you know, through homeschooling.
Mm.
And it not be cast, at least now, I don't think it would be cast a shadow of like, oh, that's that creepy homeschool kid. That's that, the parents are a little cuckoo, so they homeschool the kids. Like, that's the wacky family. Now I think it would just be like, no, they're overprotective, or they're just being protective, or their daughter or son is a lot more responsible and a lot more mature. And I knew plenty of people in high school that are like, if they could homeschool or learn stuff remotely, they would never be in high school because they all thought, you know, they could see through it. It was like the Matrix. Like, they could see the Matrix. Why am I in this like organized education spot for so many hours when I could be learning the same exact amount in way less time and getting and pulling the same grades?
Right.
I wonder if this is going to recontextualize a lot of stuff. A lot of businesses that are like, why are we renting this gigantic building when 70% of our workforce could work from home and we don't have to own that huge building? We could own two floors.
Yep.
It's interesting.
That was
Dune looks so good, dude. Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait. And I hope they do like the entire series, because, you know, it's like 6-7 books. So I hope that this does well enough that they continue doing them, because I think that would be awesome.
Is Dave Bautista now this director's, like Martin Scorsese has Robert De Niro? Is Bautista his good luck charm?
It might be. You know, we watched Guardians of the Galaxy tonight. He's freaking gold in that movie.
Agreed. I think that's why Gunn was even trying to get him over to do, what was it, Suicide Squad?
Yep.
He's trying to rope him in.
Yep.
Like, it's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't an Arrival, but he was in Blade Runner. He had a small part in Blade Runner. He was good there. Played a serious role in Blade Runner.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he's a good luck charm.
I love Dave Bautista. He's got a new Netflix movie out. It's like a spy movie with a little kid.
Oh, yeah, that one. No. Yeah. Isn't that on Amazon? I thought that was on Amazon.
Wherever it is.
Yeah, he's the CIA agent.
Yep.
I want to see that.
I want to see that too. I might see it this weekend when I get Zoe.
Same here.
So yeah, Dune. Get ready. December 18th. God, I can't wait.
It's going to be so good.
I'm going to buy it as soon as I can buy it. Same with New Mutants, by the way. Like, that's not coming to streaming till December something. 15th?
Same here.
But I want to see that. I don't care what anybody says.
Listening to Brightside Chat talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they got me so excited.
Yep.
I could not listen. I was bummed when that episode ended of their podcast, because I could have listened to 2 more hours of talk of
Hell
that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Really excited.
All right, so Dune recommendation. Second recommendation.
Yes.
So as it turns out, my wife did not get HBO Max. She just had a trial. So I haven't tried it yet.
So you weren't able to watch The Vow?
And so I haven't been able to watch The Vow.
Okay.
So sad. Mm-hmm. But I thought about doing the trial because there's a show on there that I really want to watch.
Oh.
And as it turns out, I didn't need to get the trial because the first episode is on YouTube for free on HBO Max's YouTube channel.
Nice.
But after watching it, I kind of want to get it so I can watch the damn show.
Ooh.
It is called Raised by Wolves.
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of it? Well,
I thought you were going to say that, Lovecraft Country? I thought that was the thing you were going to talk about.
So I haven't seen that yet either.
Okay.
I want to see it because I love Lovecraft.
What's Raised by Wolves?
So if I say to you, Raised by Wolves, tell me what comes to mind.
My second favorite movie monster is in a series, and it's going to be like what's that stupid Robert Patrick glowy, sparkly vampire film?
Twilight.
Twilight. It's going to do what werewolves, what Twilight did for vampires.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Like I said, second favorite movie monster. But that's a damn good place because it's a very quick slide once you get past four.
So when I heard about this show, Raised by Wolves,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be something like, you remember that movie Legends of the Fall?
Yes, of course, with the beautiful Brad Pitt.
How yes.
Yes, shirtless. So, yes.
Because
long hair, blowing in the wind, a Greek god.
If you say Raised by Wolves, like that's kind of what I think of. I think like something set in like the Old West with
Dances
like.
With Wolves.
Yeah, Dances with Wolves, right? Like Native Americans and the colonizers coming in, whatever. Like I thought it'd be something like that. And I was like, I'm not interested in this Raised by Wolves thing. But then I was watching trailers and the trailer for this thing came up and I saw the picture and I was like, that's not a wolf or a Native American or a cowboy. It's like a weird looking lady in a silver spacesuit.
What?
And yeah. So I was like, this might be up my alley.
Okay.
So I watched the trailer and Nick,
yes.
I was like, holy shit, this is totally up my alley.
Huh.
Why did I not want to check this out?
Why has HBO not been promoting this show? This is the first I've ever heard of this show.
Well, it is rated very highly. If you go to IMDb, it's got an 8.6 out of 10.
But how would it ever be on your radar if HBO's not promoting it? That's my point.
Well, this is very true.
What the H?
This is very true. This is a Ridley Scott production.
Ooh.
I'm not familiar with any of the actors except one, Travis Fimmel, the guy from Vikings.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever watched Vikings.
No, I never had Stars.
Okay, fair enough. I've watched some of Vikings. I think I watched the first two seasons. I really enjoyed it. He's one of the characters in this movie. Aside from him, I don't recognize anybody else. Because I said Ridley Scott, it should automatically give you the impression that this is maybe related to the Aliens universe. It's not, but it's got that vibe. Okay. So let me give you the basic premise of this movie,
yeah,
of this
please.
TV show. It is set in the far future where humanity has kind of devolved two factions. You have the atheists and the Mithraists, and they have this giant world war and basically nuke the Earth where it's no longer habitable.
This sounds like a So Martin film or series.
And so humanity sends arcs into space to find a new planet to colonize.
Nice.
And so when the movie kicks off, we're in like a very small ship. And there's two people on the ship, both wearing these shiny silver suits, and they land on a planet, Kepler-22b, which I don't know how much you follow science, but Kepler's like really in like science circles because they found like a bunch of planets in that solar system, and it seems like several planets there are habitable. Anyway, so they land on this planet, and they have to like set up a base, basically. and you don't really know why. But they set up their base, and they have these little like silver briefcases, which the guy ends up hooking up to the woman, and like 9 months later, there's little like fetuses in like plexiglass cubes, and she's still hooked up to them. So basically what happened is because the Earth was destroyed by this nuclear war between these two factions, the atheists, which believed only like everything should be based on science, and then the Mithraists, which are like fundamental Christians, basically, except a little bit deeper than that, if you know anything about Mithras. So like they're in this place to like colonize it for humanity. So they're raising these embryos. That's what that was in the suitcases were embryos. And so they have 6 embryos that they're going to raise. And like, they're all different. Like there's an Asian kid and a black kid and a white kid and like a blonde kid and a black haired kid. And so these two people are going to raise like human civilization in this new planet. But you know, things go awry, of course, and like the kids start dying off, like they get sick or like they fall down a hole, like whatever. So there's only one kid left. And you quickly learn that these two people aren't people, they're androids. And they're androids very much like the androids in did you ever see Prometheus?
No.
You're familiar with the Aliens franchise though.
Yeah.
So the androids are like that. And they start malfunctioning as well. So
they're like Lance Hendrickson?
Yes. And so like crazy crap starts going on. One of the androids has like you don't know if they're flashbacks or like hallucinations or what, but like one of these hallucinations takes place during this war, so you get to see like the war happening. And it just turns out that after I think it's like 9 years or something that they're on this planet, one of the androids sees a ship in the sky, and he immediately knows that it's the Mithraeus because all the atheists got killed in this war. Like, they're the only ones left. That's why they're raising these embryos on this planet. And so one of the androids kind of freaks out because, like, they've been at war all this time. And so the Mithraeus come down, and there's, like, a shit ton of... This is not even close, like, a show for your wife.
Oh, darn it. I was going to ask.
No, not even close. Because, spoilers for the first episode... The lady android, whose name is Mother, ends up malfunctioning and kills the male android, whose name is Father, because he signaled their ship, and so the Mithraeus are going to come to their camp, because his reasoning is all the other kids are dead. Once you know we cease to exist, this kid's going to be alone on this planet. At least if he's like around other human beings, he can have a life. And Mother's not having any of it. So she kills Father. And then the Mithraeus come to their camp. And there's a lot of tension, of course. And she's like, don't tell them that I'm an android. But they know. They can tell. And she overhears that they're basically going to kidnap the kid and take him back with them. And kill Mother. So she goes crazy. Kills all the Mithraeus. Gets on their ship. Goes up to the mothership. And... basically blows them all up. She's got this like siren power where she like yells and people just explode. They just obliterate into globs of blood. And she crashes the mothership into the planet, but rescues 5 kids from this ship that look like the 5 kids that were killed that they were raising. And that's kind of where the first episode ends.
Dang.
But there's like a lot of like weird, like esoteric, mystical stuff going on. Like the Mithraeus are talking about like maybe this kid is the prophet. So like there's some stuff going on there.
Uh-huh.
The Mithras was like a thing in ancient Rome around the time of early Christianity. So there's a lot of like mythology and mysticism intertwined in this show. It's really fucking good. I loved it. And it's very, you know, for the same reason that I love Villeneuve, because he's got this, like, different aesthetic. Mm-hmm. This show's also got that very different aesthetic.
Huh.
And it doesn't pull any punches. Just like in your face all the time.
It looks like Ridley Scott directed 2 episodes as well.
Yeah, I think the first 2.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So they put out 3 episodes, I think, on the day of release.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about getting HBO Max just to watch this thing.
Uh-oh.
Because it is totally up my alley. Totally up my alley. Science and philosophy intertwined.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Yeah, it's very good. Highly recommend it.
I like it.
But I don't know where I'm going to get HBO. I can't get it on my TV because HBO Max doesn't have apps anywhere. You got to watch it on your phone or your computer.
Really?
Yeah.
It doesn't have apps?
No.
Watch it through my Apple TV.
A lot of people are complaining that like there's not apps for everything.
Oh, I watch it through my Apple TV.
Well, I mean, I have a big screen on my computer, so maybe I'll just watch it on my computer.
Yeah.
But yeah, Raised by Wolves. Very good.
Sounds good.
Very good.
Now are you ready to go through your top 5 movie monsters?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Top 5 movie monsters. Number 1 is going to be the Creature from the Black Lagoon. The original. Old school. Black and white.
Wait, you inside my head right now?
Am I going 1 through 5 or 5 to 1? Ah, who cares?
We'll always do 1 through 5, which drives me crazy, but look, go ahead.
We'll go in no particular order, but I think it's my favorite.
No, you have 1 through 5.
The Monster from the Black Lagoon. I love the design. I love the idea of just like this humanoid creature like lurking underwater.
Same here.
It's just like classic horror, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. That's number 1. Number 2 is Predator. Ooh. You consider that movie monster, right? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Number 2 is Predator. I love the comics. I've always loved the comics. And I love the films. Predator,
but
like
as a monster. We're only looking at monsters. It could be a monster that's been only in horrible source material. But if you really dig that monster, then call out that monster.
Yeah. So Predator is number 2. Number 3 is the Xenomorphs from Aliens.
Dang. All right.
I love, same thing. I love the design. I love just like pure evil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. Just like a creature driven solely by instinct. Yes. I love that. So that's number 3. Number 4, this is going to be a weird one. Don't laugh.
Mm.
But I love The Mummy.
That's my number 3.
Oh, you're is it?
Almost all of my movie monsters right now. This is awesome. Continue.
The Mummy, and in particular, The Mummy from the, oh God, what's his name? The guy that's in Doom Patrol.
You mean Brendan Fraser?
Yes, the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies.
Oh my God.
I love those movies.
Mine is Bela Lugosi Mummy, the OG to the zombie, which I do not like zombies, but the Mummy is the OG zombie. But mine is Bela Lugosi.
Very good. My number 5 is one that you may not guess.
Zombies. It has to be zombies.
It's not zombies.
Zombies is not one of your top 5. What are we even doing this list for?
It's not.
What?
Nope.
Wow.
Well, because I'm not. Zombies is more like a collective. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a specific zombie that I like.
I would even allow if you wanted to pick Jason as a monster.
I mean, I'd have Jason and Freddy on my top 10.
Oh yeah, I'd have Jason.
All right, number 5. You want to take a guess?
I did, zombies.
Oh, zombies. Okay, fair enough. I don't know what I think the actual name is Pale Man. But I always refer it to as the Eye Monster. Have you ever seen the movie Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes.
All right, so you know what I'm talking about? The
For
Eye Monster.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That when she goes down to the maze, there's a very pale looking creature who has no eyes in his face. His eyes are on the palm of his hands, and mm-hmm. and to see, he puts his hands up to his face.
Yes.
So the Eye Monster for Pan's Labyrinth is number 5, just purely on like creativity.
Yeah, it's the a thing that nightmares are made of.
Yes.
For sure.
All right, give me yours.
Mine, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Good choice.
Werewolf.
Oh.
The Mummy.
Any particular werewolf?
I like Lon Chaney a lot.
Oh, okay.
I love the Abbott and Costello werewolf films. My mom raised me on Universal Movie Monsters, so that's it. Not Jack Nicholson. I like David Naughton, American Werewolf in London.
How about American Werewolf in Paris?
I haven't seen that.
Pretty good. You should watch it.
Okay, I will. That was three, right?
Yes.
John Carpenter's The Thing, or even the original Thing.
That's a good one.
That still creeps me out, and I love the paranoia around anyone could be that monster. I think that's really cool. And I'm going to go OG again for my last one. I'm going to go, and I'm not even going to let you guess. I am going to go, and it should be Dracula, because there's so many weird sexual bits to that, but it won't be. I'm going to surprise everyone. Mine is going to be, for number five, Godzilla.
Wow.
I love me some Godzilla. Give me any version of Godzilla. Love it.
Some
better than others. But
sure.
Of course, if you have a Rodan, if you have a Mothra, Mega Godzilla, sign me up. I'm all for it.
We watched the latest Godzilla a couple weeks ago. It's pretty good.
How was that?
Pretty good.
I was debating on watching that.
Yeah, I think it's worth a watch. It's very dark. Like it's hard to see a lot of things.
The bad thing is, now that just because you can throw money at and solve a problem and not have a person in a suit, does that mean that that's going to be better because it's all CGI?
True.
I don't know. I would debate that, especially after seeing the Dune trailer where everything's pretty practical. I would debate that.
Since you're a Godzilla fan, have you watched the animated Godzilla movies on Netflix?
Are they new?
I think they're a couple years old, maybe a year or two old.
I might have watched one.
So there's three of them.
Okay.
It's anime, like in that style, and it's in the future.
Ooh, maybe I haven't watched these. Okay.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. It's good. There's like a lot of space sci-fi stuff.
So it's Godzilla in space.
Mm-hmm. Everything's better
in
space. How is
Godzilla getting around in space?
You gotta watch the movies, bro.
Is he propelled by his own flaming breath?
He rides Mothra to the galaxy.
He eats a lot of flaming Cheetos and then electrifies that tail of his and it becomes a propeller.
Mm, sure.
How scary.
That was one of the better scenes in that new Godzilla movie when Mothra shows up. You haven't watched it, so I don't want to spoil it. But Mothra...
Oh, spoil away. You already spoiled Raised by Wolves. Come on.
Well, just the first episode. There's the scene where Mothra revives Godzilla. Is awesome.
That sounds good.
Yeah, very good.
Is there a Mecha Godzilla in it?
No Mecha Godzilla.
Dang it.
Nope, no Mecha Godzilla.
Where's Del Toro when you need
it? I mean, like, some of it's kind of hokey because it's almost like a catastrophe movie.
It better be hokey.
But with Godzilla in it.
Is The Rock in it?
The Rock is not in it.
He'll defeat Godzilla. I'm sure of it. He's defeated earthquakes. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's true. I have not seen that yet.
Nah, you come on.
Did you
see the trailer? You saw the movie. Don't worry about it.
I'm sure. I'm sure, and they're all the same. What's the other one he did in the Skyline? The one in the skyscraper?
Yes.
It looks just like the earthquake movie, except on a building.
Yeah, he's hit that Sylvester Stallone, like the late Stallone trajectory. That's like, wait, now he's in a subway doing the same thing. Now he's in a tunnel, and everything goes to shit, and he has to figure a way. Okay, here he goes. Like,
hey, man, but he's making money. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, he bought the XFL. Of course he's making money.
He sure did.
I mean, he can poop that money away just as quick buying the XFL, but hey.
Yep, he sure did. Which reminds me, celebrities buying weird shit. So have you heard of Mint Mobile?
No.
Okay, so Mint Mobile is like a cell phone carrier.
Okay.
Okay. Which they have like an interesting structure. You You buy your plan like 3 months in advance.
Oh, so it's for drug dealers.
Sure. But like it's cheap, you know, like the cheapest plan is like $15 a month, unlimited text and talking text. Nice. And then I don't know like how much data it is, a gig or something.
Do you have to own one of their phones, or is it just sort of like a SIM card thing?
No, you can just get the SIM card.
Nice.
And they have like a thing where you can check to see if your phone will work on their network. And you pay like 3 months in advance. So mm-hmm. like $45, you get whatever I just said. Anyway, so that company is now owned by Ryan Reynolds.
What?
Yeah. So he was an investor when they started, and then he bought the company outright a couple months ago. And the only reason I bring this up, because celebrities buying weird shit.
Man, that Deadpool money just keeps coming in, huh?
Well, not just the Deadpool money. He used to own that company that made gin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just sold that like a month or two ago for like a shit ton of money. Yeah.
I always hear Ashton Kutcher being like, he always does initial investments and IP investments.
Yep, yep.
Of like crazy stuff that a lot of it hits. But yep. I'm sure a lot of the stuff fails, but you just never hear about that.
So the funny thing is, now that he owns the company, mm-hmm. he does all their advertising videos.
Wait, I just saw a commercial with him and Rick Moranis.
Yes, it's for Mint Mobile. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Holy Christ, I didn't know what that was for, but oh my God, how insane.
Yeah, it's for Ryan Reynolds' cell phone company, Mint Mobile. The commercial's hilarious.
Yeah, of course.
Rick Moranis is like, why am I here? And Ryan's like, because I love your work. You're an inspiration to me. He's like, so you hired me just to tell me that? He's like, yeah, kind of. He's like, all right. You got to watch it, dude. It's hilarious.
So good.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I see on Disney Plus, they have a show that's like 8 episodes, and it's this Disney collector archivist type guy. Going around, so like each episode is spotlighted. It'll be like Nightmare Before Christmas, and he'll go see like some of the puppeteers and pull out like props, that type of thing. Like I said, he's like a archivist, and like he does like restoration on some of the like old props, that type of thing. But he's a collector at heart. One of the episodes is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Shockingly, he had an interview with Rick Moranis. I don't even know how that happened. Like, how much money did they give him? How, like, he is such a recluse. You never see him anymore. It was great to see him.
I bet.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis. I don't think we've ever shown the kids. What's the one, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? I don't think they've ever seen that. We might have to watch it this weekend.
They should. Disney Plus. Jump on it.
I just thought about it. I did have one more recommendation. I talked about this channel before. Do you ever watch Film Theory?
Film Theory.
Yeah, on YouTube?
No.
All right, you should check it out. It's The Film Theorists is the channel.
Is it based on the Sweet magazine under the same name?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. They like talk about movies before they come out usually, right? And talk about like how the plot could develop. So today they put out an episode on the new Batman movie, The Batman.
Ooh.
Because they're like, hey, we did an episode on the Joker and we nailed it. And that was like a month before the movie came out. So let's do one on the plot of the Batman a year before the movie comes out.
Dang.
And it's really good. I recommend the channel just in general, but if you want to get some tidbits on what these guys think about the movie before it's out, then I recommend it.
Is it Film Theory or Film Theorists?
The Film Theorists.
Okay, the channel's that. Okay, good.
Yep. And then they have one, they have like a side channel called like Food Theory, I think, which is also pretty good if you're into food and cooking and stuff.
I'm just writing down that so I don't forget.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can I give you a little revelation? I know we have to head out.
Sure.
My Adopt-A-Character for this year. Adopt-A-Characters, because I always do Marvel and DC. Batman's going along swimmingly.
Great.
Nothing to report there. My Marvel character is the Hulk, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered this week it's fine. Like, it doesn't feel, it's not a trog to go through and read some Batman. Don't get me wrong. I've read plenty of Batman. I haven't read a lot of older Hulk. I think I pretty well became a Hulk fan right before the Planet Hulk.
Right.
The Cabal. When it was all of the, like, Professor X, Doctor Strange, Reed Richards, Namor, and a few other people got together, and they were the ones that decided, hey, we got to send Bruce Banner out into that rocket. That's sort of when I, like, this isn't just a big green monster smashing stuff, Hulk smash. There's a lot more to this. And that's sort of where I became very intrigued by the character. Well, now that I'm doing this Adopt-A-Character, I'm 8 months in, 9 months in. I gotta say, like, right now I'm starting Marvel Masterworks Incredible Hulk Volume 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been jumping around time-wise, reading some new stuff, some old stuff. I still have to read the Marvel Knights version, but I've been reading a lot of different versions. And I gotta say, every time I jump into a new collection, I am like a kid on Christmas Day. I am giddy with excitement to read the next Hulk item. I don't know if it's... I know it's because I've never read most of it, but I think I'm really discovering so many different layers of the character. So many different writers come in and sort of tweak the character. And it seems like the Hulk never gets reset, just added on to. Where you read Daredevil and they put Daredevil into a pickle. He's in jail now. And then all of a sudden the next writer comes in and completely resets it back to the way it was. And I mean, that even happened with the new issues of Soul's Run, where everyone just forgets that who Daredevil is. It's a big reset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and that's fine. You know, they did that with Spider-Man, and you know, I love me some Spider-Man. But it seems like the Hulk, sure, he becomes like a brainless monster here and there. But there's always bits to it that it just grows upon. And maybe it's just the fact that Hulk might change as a character, but all the supporting staff never changes.
Right, right, right.
They always have the information that's in their head of, oh, you know, I was there when Bruce was going to marry Betty. And then he hulked out because, you know, the master was there, like, you know, taunting them and broke through the house and, you know, went after them. Like, that's the type of stuff that, like, sure, Bruce doesn't remember any of it, but everyone else does. And it's just, like I said, I'm a kid in a candy store, dude. I cannot wait. And now it's like, I don't want to read anything but Hulk. It's really strange. And I mean, some of it's great art, great writing. And, you know, there's peaks and valleys for sure. But I don't know why, but I am ravenous with Hulk. Like, please, if anyone, Johnny Comixology, if you're listening to me, please, for God's sakes, don't make me go into the poorhouse. Do not do an Incredible Hulk sale. Thank you. I am so hooked, dude. I am like, it is crazy how excited I get.
Alexa, tell Jeff Bezos to do a Hulk sale on Comixology. Thanks.
No, cancel. Abort. It's so much fun. And it really is not just this big, huge beast thing. And even like these early like Masterworks, it is pretty much a big beast. You know, there is not layers that like Peter David added to. There's not really layers to the character. It's a Jekyll and Hyde story. I get it. But there's so many stories that will have soft, like tender moments with the Hulk being very Frankenstein-y and like loving towards, you know, a stranger or towards an animal. And it's just like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, it's just so, it completely speaks to me. And for whatever reason, like I've read Hulk before, you know, all growing up, I've read tons of Hulk, but never like a continual run,
right.
Never anything that I was interested in all that much other than like, Oh man, when he fights the thing, ooh, this is gonna be a battle. Like, no, this goes way beyond like fisticuffs at this point. It is such a pleasure.
That's good, man. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I feel like I have to rush at this point because I only have 4 months left in the year. Because would I love to read all the Hulk that I purchased through the last like 10 years within this last 3 months? Yes, I would. And do I want to do that? Yes, I do. And I haven't even got up and I've read some Peter David Visionaries already. So I'm not going to reread those because I have tons of other new stuff to read and I have tons of other Peter David Visionaries to read. But there are so many runs that I never read. I've yet to even touch a John Byrne, Ron Garney run. Mm-hmm. Never touched any of those issues. There's just so huge chunks of stuff that I've never, ever touched. And I'm really, really excited to like, ooh, now I can finally jump into that run. Nice. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah.
See, so on my end, I'm still way behind on Daredevil.
Ooh.
Not the current run. Okay. I'm caught up on that, except one issue, which I'll talk about in a second.
Can I tell you where I'm at with the current, well, with the Sewell run?
Yeah. Oh, you're on Sewell. Okay.
Yeah, I took a break, and I think I'm at a halfway point. But I wanted to jump back into Hulk because he was calling me. I don't know why. But that, you know, those big green eyes, I can't, you know, they hypnotize me. I can't look away. He's too sexy. But I stopped right with Mayor Fisk.
Ah.
But, dude, I bitched and moaned to you about Ten Fingers. Still don't like Ten Fingers.
Same on you.
But Blind Spot and Echo? Yeah. Where have they been all my life?
Blind Spot's awesome.
Oh, I love both of them. They're mm-hmm. such great characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they fit so well into the Daredevil universe. So thank you so much. Because when there was a Daredevil sale, you're like, dude, you should read that. I just bought the entire run. And like I said, I'm halfway through. And I might make Daredevil my spotlight character next year.
It's very good. I think the Soul run is my second favorite behind the Zdarsky run.
Ooh, that's interesting because I haven't read any Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Wait, you haven't read the current run? Any of
no.
it? Oh my no. God, Nicholas Wetmore, let me tell you, you are in for a treat.
Oh, I like me some Chip.
It is freaking phenomenal.
Okay.
With that said, once I'm like completely caught up with my current stuff, I'm uh-huh. going to go back to my Daredevil read-through because I still have a shit ton to go through.
I was going to say, does with Sewell and Zdarsky,
mm-hmm.
have they sort of tainted you going back? Like for me,
yeah.
For me, I read, who is it? Al Ewing.
Al Ewing. Mm-hmm.
I read his current stuff. And it only inspires me to go backwards because I follow a couple people on Twitter and they'll post up like that character was found in Incredible Hulk, whatever, 168 from 1982. And I'm like, ooh, do I have that run? And I will immediately go right there because it's like, I want to see the source material. Like he inspires me to want to go back and read, you know, some weird run of
right,
Hulk.
Right.
Where I hate to say it, Sewell and Zdarsky, I'm sure, are doing stuff so good that it would be sort of hard to go back and read 1982's Daredevil run. I'm not talking Frank Miller and I'm not talking Ann Nesenti. I'm talking like, who wrote that, you know, 8 issues of Daredevil that it's okay, but there's not a great artist because it was a C-level book and it's
right,
not
right,
a
right.
writer. Like, does that actually inspire you to go back and like, I'm going to read the Mazzucchelli run?
Well, so I had that problem because I was going to start reading the Epic collection that I got.
Which one?
I don't know. Let me look it up here real quick and I'll tell you.
Okay. I'm just curious which one you were drawn to.
Where am I going?
Trust me, and I just recently, like within the last 5 years, read Miller reread Miller's Daredevil run
mm-hmm.
and it's fabulous, but comparing that to a more current, not dated style of writing, it's hard to compare. It's apples and oranges.
Right. The Man Without Fear.
That gives me no direction of when that was.
So, writers would be Stan Lee, Wallace Wood, and Denny O'Neill.
Shit. So that's, wow. You're talking like the first 100 issues.
Yeah, it's early.
Dang. Who was drawing it? Ernie Cohen?
What's this one? Let me see. Yeah, it's the first 21 issues. 1 through 21. Artist, Gene Colan, John Romita.
There you go.
So I started to read it, and I just couldn't do it.
And you don't mind Golden Age, Silver Age?
Not at all. Like, I love that stuff.
You can put your mindset, your modern mind reading, modern reader? Yeah.
Yes.
You could put that aside and put on your Golden Age cap and read just fine.
No problem.
But what made you stall out on this?
Just, so for example, when I read like Golden Age Batman, like it still feels like Batman, right? But by going back and reading Silver Age Daredevil, it's like watching like a Saturday morning cartoon version of Daredevil.
Sizzle and Stan didn't have his head wrapped around the character.
I'm not saying that. I like the darker tone of the more current runs.
You want the put upon Matt Murdock.
Yes.
You don't want his life working out a-okay.
Yes, that's boring.
Yeah. You need the rug pulled out from Matt about every 25 issues.
Correct.
Yeah. I get it.
So I just couldn't do it. I had to stop and just read other stuff.
Doesn't that hurt you, though?
Yeah, because I want to read it.
Now, okay, I read one blind spot for me. I don't think I've read, other than a few issues, the Stan and Jack Fantastic Four, and I'm dying to go and read those. But I did read Stan's from the very beginning, Spider-Man. And it seemed like, even now, people are building on what Stan Lee did with the character. That character was pretty fleshed out. You knew the tent poles of that character. Did Stan have that for Matt Murdock? Or was it just like, I want to write about this lawyer guy. Oh, and he's blind too.
Yeah, it's more like that.
Okay. I didn't know how generic it was, where Spider-Man was not generic whatsoever, for me at least. It's still the characters being developed by modern people. Yeah. But it's still that character.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
So,
dang it. That's
so I just couldn't do it, but I want to do it. And I know I'm going to have the same when I read the Anna Senti stuff. I know it's going to be like a similar thing. I just got to get myself into the right mind space. You know what I mean? Like I will tell you,
it won't be the same thing.
Well, I know it won't be the same thing.
Was very put on, very, very put upon. He with Nascente.
All right. We'll see. We'll see when we get there.
Actually, it's probably going to be even more religious than what Soul is doing right now with the character. Like there's a lot of religion in the Miller stuff. There's a lot of religion with Anne Nascente as well.
Yeah, I've read some of the Miller stuff. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
So I know I won't have a problem with that run, but we'll see, man.
Oh, but now that you dipped your toe in that Epic collection, is it one of those like you don't feel like you want to go back? You want to stick in the modern?
No, I'm still going to do it.
Okay. I just didn't know how burned you were.
No, it's not like – here's the thing. It's not like it was bad. It's just like I was like, I appreciate this more.
Right.
You know, but with that said, there's one issue of Daredevil that I have not read.
Of the
current runs, the Darcy's run, and that is the annual that came out. I don't know, a month ago, because apparently a lot of people are angry about this issue, Nick, and I just happened to catch it on Twitter, and the way that it was described, I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I like that, so I just haven't read it because. It seems like the annual is not about Matt. It's about his brother who – what do you mean his brother?
What do you mean his brother?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently he's got a brother.
Are you sure this isn't a secret scroll?
Look, it might be. And if that's what it is, then great. And here's the thing. I trust Chip. In Chip we trust. Because the run's been incredible. But I'm just like, I'll hold off. So I plan on reading it this weekend. But I've been putting it off for, like I said, at least a month. Whenever, I don't know how long ago that came out.
You know where that ranks for me, just hearing what you how you described it, because I avoided all this hullabaloo on Twitter. This is up there with Peter's parents are alive. Oh no, they never died, and they're gonna come back to see. Like, really? Like, come on.
Yeah.
They were dead. Like, ugh. You never saw them. Like, Peter never mentioned that in how many decades? Like, he always said his parents were dead. Now you're saying they're alive. Like, come on.
Listen, they're running out of ideas. You know what I mean? Miles Morales is a clone now.
But it's one thing if, like, Matt was talking about a long-lost brother for decades.
Sure.
But you can't just, like, out of the blue, here's his brother. Like,
Well, let me tell you. So, like I said, I haven't read it, so I can't even, like, analyze the story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But here's what I'm hoping it is. I'm hoping that Matt... Like, because, you know, there's this whole, like, murder trial thing going on, right? I'm hoping that somehow the way out of it involves the Purple Man. And the Purple Man has injected this, like, memory of a brother that he never had.
Ooh. I like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Soul did... Was it Soul? I think it was Soul.
Soul did the Purple Man and the Purple Children.
Yes, with Elektra.
That was the thing that made the world forget that Matt Murdock was Daredevil.
Right. But remember, that's the thing with Elektra, because Elektra was convinced she had a daughter.
Yes.
That Matt had killed, and that was never the case.
Now that would be freaking awesome.
Right?
If the Purple Man is directing, even if it was or wasn't his brother, who the hell cares? Like, if the strings are being pulled by the Purple Man, that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if it isn't, Marvel Comics. Hello, Johnny Marvel. hire Martin Ferretti to write Daredevil. Thank you. Goodbye.
No, not Daredevil. But hire me to write Moon Knight. I will do that.
But we'll get you in on Daredevil, and then we'll swing over to Moon Knight. Moon Knight's being written right now. He's an Avenger. He's off in space.
You know that. No, he's not. That story arc is garbage.
You know that.
It is the worst Moon Knight story I've read in my entire life.
You know that.
Garbage. he was an awesome Avengers back in the day.
Sure. He was a secret Avenger, too.
He was. I like the story when he goes back in time to Egypt to rescue the Avengers.
Any battles, Apocalypse? Yes, I remember that.
Shh.
I remember
spoilers.
I know.
No, but that's where I got the idea. I was like, missed opportunity.
Just take this from me. Take this idea. Run.
Why has nobody? It's so obvious.
Please.
Why has nobody done it?
David Finch, you can draw. You can draw it again. Come on.
Who would I have drawing? No, you know what? I would bring Stephen Platt back to do my story.
Oh, shit.
Moon Knight would have so many veins on his muscles.
I was going to say. Would he have like a 24-pack?
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah. Listen.
I love it.
That Stephen Platt shit was awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
Hey, I ain't bitching. He did a good Hulk, too. I ain't complaining.
Oh, did he? I don't know. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I think he did 2 or 3 issues.
Yeah, he never stayed on anything for very long.
Nah.
I think he does animation now.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yep. That's one of the reasons why I read Prophet. Stephen Platt was doing art on Prophet.
Hell yeah.
It was awesome. God, he had great covers too. You know what it's like? It's like, what's the guy? Bart Sears. You know how Bart Sears has that look to the muscles? Where, like, every muscle has, like, all these, like, filaments in it? Like, you can see the filaments of the muscle?
It's like muscles on muscles on muscles.
Muscles on muscles on muscles. And, like, all these, like, really dark, like, dark inked lines around the separation between each muscle.
Yep.
God, I love it. So good. All right, let's wrap this up.
All right.
Stephen Platt, call me. We'll pitch this. Thank you for listening to the Nerd Ninja Podcast with Nick and Martin. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Nick Webmore. I keep on at Nerdy Legion. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.